Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the gospel lesson, especially starting with the words of Jesus toward the beginning. Jesus said to him, I do not say to you 7 times, but 70 times 7. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants, and so the parable launches. Remember, in parables, one of the keys to understanding them is when they run off the tracks and are no longer ordinary stories about ordinary people in an ordinary world. And they contradict things that happen in life. And we get pretty quickly into that realm. Some interesting details. What's a talent? 10,000 talents? Talent of silver is a weight of silver. You don't want to know what a talent of gold is worth, but a talent of silver, well, 20 years ago it was 11,500 for a talent of silver. 10,000 of those. That'd be $115 million. Which raises a question, how'd the servant get his hands on that kind of money? What could he possibly have spent it on? This is amazing squandering of resources. Insert joke here about federal government. Okay, let's move on. So, $115 million. Now we put you into the parable. So let's say you have taken out a home equity loan. What size of home equity loan? Well, after you took out a few of them, the bank calls you up and says, do you realize the balance on your home equity loan is $100 million? And by the way, we've made an appointment for you for Monday morning. Be here at 9 o'clock. Wow. And what do you do? What do you do over the weekend?
Pack.
Pack. Pack. Yeah, you need to put the N in there. Panic. What don't you do is you don't sleep much. Yeah. You know where you're going to be living for the next umpteen years. And so Monday morning comes, you walk into the bank, and here's your meeting, and the banker greets you and says, sit down, you need to sit down. By the way, we have decided at the bank that since you cannot pay any of this, we've decided to just write it off. The debt's gone, the house is yours. Enjoy. What do you do then? Huh? Fall on the floor. Yeah. Faint for joy. Yes. And that's basically it. And the reason why we're talking in these terms is, how do you grasp the immensity of sin? How do you grasp the incredible grace that's given? Takes me back to confirmation class many, many years ago, when the pastor on a Saturday morning, early Saturday morning, and us not quite awake yet, starts us out with, do you realize that there is only one penalty for sin, no matter what that sin is? And that penalty is, of course, eternal death and hell. Now, how many of you this morning have sinned. At which point, those of us in the confirmation class are going like this, duck and cover, duck and cover. He says, and if each, he goes on, he makes it worse, and if each sin deserves an eternity of suffering in hell, how many eternities of suffering in hell have you earned so far today? This is not going good, is it? No, it is not going well for us. But he makes it worse. He says, and if during any of those eternities suffering in hell, you have the least little bad thought about God, guess what? You've just earned another one. How are you going to get out? And he makes it worse. And he says, do you realize what you owe to God is not simply the paying back for your sins? If you could pay all of that back, that would simply bring you up to zero. And what you actually owe to God is a whole life from beginning to end of faith and love and praise and loving your neighbor. And how are you going to give that to God? And so that's not a happy way to start a Saturday, is it? And the reason for going through that exercise was so that we would understand how absolutely immense our debt is to God and how incredible the grace is. Because we could never pay that back to God. We could never pay him even the least little part of it. But you've got Jesus Christ, the Holy One, the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, with a perfectly holy life from beginning to end. And he presents that before his Father. And then he takes on our sin. And all of the punishment that we deserved in those hours on the cross. One of the words from the cross, it is finished. That's the penalty paid in full. All of that debt wiped out and canceled. Another word from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Realize that as he's praying this in the middle of the agony of the cross, he is there with perfect and total and absolute faith. He continues on to pray in faith. And this is stunning. So, Peter, how often should you forgive your brother? Are you going to count the 70 times 7? Ooh, 490, and he's already up to 300. And another 190, and that's it. I don't think that's the point, do you? No. When you compare and you ask the question, with what you have been given and with that absolutely incredible gift, what are you going to do with a God like that? What are you going to do with your life? First part of the answer, because we're in this parable, is continue to be astonished, amazed at his goodness, his love, his forgiving. Second part is thank and praise him. After you've fallen over and fainted at the banker's office, you know, once you regain consciousness, you want to thank the banker, right? And thank him profusely. And you're never going to forget that for the rest of your life. And this is what we have received from God. So then that confirmation question and answer, I think we did this last week. If you had all of eternity to thank and praise God, could you ever thank and praise him enough for what he has done for us in Jesus Christ? This is our existence, being given a gift that is beyond measuring, and being called children of God when we didn't deserve it, and children of heaven, and saints and righteous, we didn't deserve it, and he didn't have to do it. But he did it. This is our God. What do we do with a gift like that? Well, what would you do if you had been forgiven that amazing debt? Would you go home and never mention it to your friends? Or would it be like a fire inside of you that you had to, you couldn't resist telling your close friends, your family, your neighbors? Watch their eyes get wide in amazement. This is also the experience of Christians when we are in a position and we have the privilege of telling somebody who does not know this story. And we're telling them about Jesus Christ, and it somehow gets through. Somehow is by the work of the Holy Spirit, right? But somehow gets through, and it dawns on them. You get to watch their eyes go wide, and the light up in their face. And the amazement in their expression. And then the joy that comes over them. This is what we have carrying in our lives. And that's another part of what do we do with a God like this. And the last part is then. What about the offenses and the little slights against us? What do we do with them? Oh, hold on to them. And if we get the chance, choke somebody and send them off to the jailers. No. That's the servant in the parable, and he went wrong. He went badly wrong. And his going badly wrong, by the way, started out with him not getting it. He didn't understand the king, his master. He didn't understand the gift that he had been given. He did not know how to thank and praise that king. He thought, oh, I've been given more of an excuse and permission to do whatever I want. So I'll just use this gift as a way to indulge my impulses and my greed. That's not Christianity, is it? Being given the gift of God's grace is not an excuse to go and do whatever I want because I've got permission. It's a gift from God that deserves to be shared. And so, You go and you look around you and see somebody who could use your help, needs some forgiveness. And out of the amazing gift that you have been given, you have the privilege of passing that on to others. The church, I love to use this phrase, the church is the gathering of the forgiven and forgiven. That's what we have here. That's what we share in our coming together in our assembly, to be the forgiven and forgiving. Both parts go together, don't they? But the reason, bringing it all back home one more time, the reason for all of this is Jesus Christ and what He has done for us. And what He has done for us and who He is should never cease to amaze us. In Jesus' name, Amen.